Okay. Now, I don't know, again, with the photocopy, what you have and what you don't have, but what I'd like to look at with you together is on page Yud Aleph. Now, you may recall, and if you don't, I'll just refresh your memory, that Rabbi Kibega wrote in a tshuva that if you forgot, inadvertently you forgot the bracha, and you went ahead and you lit the Ner Chanukah, that you could still make the bracha, as long as you haven't finished the hadlok. And this was based on the Eliyahu Rabba, which was in the bottom of page Yud, that you can make a bracha on the Hidur Mitzvah. But then Rabbi Kibega, you know, he upgrades it to a much higher intense level, and he wants to know, what about the Pre-Chadosh? The Pre-Chadosh is of the opinion that we don't make a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah. Is it possible, that's what Rabbi Kibega is raising, that even the Pre-Chadosh would agree that you can still make the bracha on Hidur Mitzvah? And in this context, he asks an even more radical question. Is it possible that even after he finished the last hadlok, he lit 8 candles, he can still make the bracha? How is this possible? So he begins with a rush. The rush in the beginning of Pesachim says that there are two types of mitzvahs, two categories of mitzvah. There's a mitzvah which is mekayim tekef u'miyad immediately, and then there's a mitzvah sheyesh bo shiur, which is extended over a period of time. And the difference is going to be that in a mitzvah sheyesh bo shiur, we're going to make the bracha with a lamed. For example, lehisatev b'tzitzis, lehaniach tefillin, likva mezuzah. Why? Because the mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah, yesh ba shivu. And on the list, the Rosh mentions lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, which means that ner shel Chanukah is a mitzvah yesh ba shivu. And the Rosh says why? Because it's a mitzvah misha tishka chama achitichle regel menashur. So the mitzvah is not fulfilled immediately, but it extends over a period of time. If this be the case, that's what Rabbi Kibega asks, can we go a step further with regard to the bracha on Ner Chanukah and say that if the mitzvah is extended for this whole period of time, then Ner Chanukah, like tzitzis or tefillin or sukkah, you can make the bracha as long as the mitzvah continues? Is anybody with me on that? In other words, this is not a mitzvah which you do in a ma'isa mitzvah, the ma'isa is done and you've clinched the mitzvah and it's completed and it's gone, but it's an extended mitzvah. And on an extended mitzvah we can make a bracha. How do we know we can make a bracha on an extended mitzvah? Because we know in halacha, this is paskin and shulchan aruch as well, that if you didn't make the bracha when you put on the talis, or when you put on the tefillin, or when you went into the sukkah, as long as the tefillin is on you, as long as the talis is on you, as long as you're still in the sukkah, you can make the bracha. So the Kivegan wants to make an analogy to Ner Chanukah. Then in Ner Chanukah, as long as the Ner is doluk, again, we're talking only within this period of time, because after that, the Ner is no longer Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah is complete. But within that period of time, we'll call it a half hour, then the mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah, you can make the bracha. But here, Rabbi Oser, we have to ask the following question. True that the mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah. However, is it a mitzvah which, if it would terminate, if something would terminate the mitzvah, I'd be obligated to do another ma'isa? Like, for example, if in the case of tefillin, again, Abby, without getting into the question of, I mentioned my great-grandfather, right? But leaving all that discussion out, if in the case of tefillin, the mitzvah is gone, and that's it, because the tefillin fell off my head, or I took it off, or whatever the case, then I have to replace it. The mezuzah fell off, I have to replace the mezuzah. The talis fell off, I have to replace the talis. In all these cases, I'm going to have to replace the mitzvah. So it could be that because I have to replace the mitzvah once it's gone, that means it's an ongoing mitzvah, meaning my original action continues to exist. Shalom aleichem. It continues to exist. We haven't seen you in a while. Have you been in Chutzlaret? Yeah, I figured as much. So again, you follow this concept of an ongoing mitzvah means that.
I don't see it by tzitzis.
Again, if I want to get my tzitzis as an ongoing mitzvah, I'm going to obviously be required to. Now, again, whether I'm chayav or not, if I have, because maybe I don't have a big, but leaving all that out for a minute, just to get the structure of it, what we're saying, I'll read to his language. Does anybody have an extra copy? It's on page Yudalev. He says the following. He says that once he sets up the mezuzah, right, b'shas kviyoso, do you have that? It's on line, let's say line 4. He says, af dieno osa maisa, even though now the mezuzah is on the door and I'm not doing anything active, mikomakom kol rega vitchilas ha-mitzvah. Every moment that the mezuzah is on my doorpost, it's as if I'm putting it on the mezuzah. And how do I know this? De ilu not lo, if let's say somebody would remove the mezuzah, lo ayolo mitzvah mikano l'haba, he would have to replace it. Okay, let's take all the other cases. Let's say tefillin. Again, I'm trying to avoid the issue about whether or not you're obligated to replace the mitzvah. But what I mean to say is, in order to get the original mitzvah back into place, I would have to continue that mitzvah. If you skip a few lines, it says, "Mashenkim in Chanukah, dechol deveshas adloka hayibo shemen kishir, af im rega acharka kovzal ner." So, in other words, he put in enough oil to last for a half hour. A minute later, it was extinguished. Ein mutal olav ladliko. He doesn't have responsibility in any sense to rekindle the lamp because we paskin kovza ein zakukla. If kain yesh lovin the mikri arvra mitzvasa. You can't call it a mitzvah kayemes, that the mitzvah still exists, unless you would have to replace the mitzvah in order to re-achieve the mitzvah. But here, the mitzvah is gone. It's history. Once the candle was extinguished, that mitzvah is gone. Can you fulfill some other mitzvah by lighting another candle? I doubt it. But let's say if somebody would push for it, but that's not the original mitzvah. So Rabbi Kivega asks the following question. If you're talking about a dayan mitzvah kayemes, if you're talking about a mitzvah sheyesh lo shihui, that it extends over a period of time, I understand that very well in the case of mezuzah, and therefore I could say that in the mezuzah, every moment that the mezuzah is still on the doorpost, it's a hemshech, it's a continuation of my original kviyas ha-mezuzah, and therefore I can make a bracha. But that's because if the mezuzah would fall out, I'd be obligated to replace the mezuzah. In the case of tefillin, if the tefillin fell off my head, I'd have to replace the tefillin. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah, if it would be terminated, it cannot be replaced. The mitzvah is absolutely lost. So therefore, it's not a mitzvah shadayin kayemes. So this is where Rabbi Kivega vacillates back and forth. He's not sure. At what point can we say avra mitzvasa? At one point do we say that the mitzvah is still there? If you require that the mitzvah has to be replaced in order to say that the original mice is still there, then that might not apply in the case of Ner Chanukah.
When you've lit it.
Say it again?
Once you've lit it, you can't relight it again as a mitzvah.
I don't know. That's a great question. In the poskim, I didn't find anything clear about this. You see, the mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a complex mitzvah. We think it's such a simple mitzvah, and the mitzvah in another few hours will be Mekayeh this mitzvah with the Shekhayonah. It's complicated because there's the Hadlaka, we say Hadlaka is a mitzvah, but yet there's the Achat Tichla Regel Menashuk, which means that we want the candle to be Mefarsim Menes over the period of a half hour. So let's postulate the following. Let's say there are two parts to the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. It's not a simple mitzvah, it's a hybrid, complex mitzvah. Number one is the Maisad Laka. Number two is that the Ner should be Doluk for a period of time, Ad Shetichla Regel Menashuk. To such an extent that you need a shear, you need a minimum amount of oil that could last for that period of time. You know, if the mitzvah is just pure maisa luck or ge'edik, then that's the end of the story. Why do you want to supply, why do you have to supply that amount, that volume of oil that would last for that period of time? Oh. Now the question, and this is Lenny's question, what happens if the maisa luka is gone? The candle went out. Do I see the second dimension of Ner Dolok as an entity unto itself, so that now I can replace the first Ner with a second Ner, and the second Ner would give me the kiyum of Ner Dolok for this half hour period of time? Again, I'm not going to make a bracha on that, because in order to make a bracha, I need Asher Kitchon Tzosu V'Tzimonu Lahadlik, so I need the Maisad Bloka. The Maisad Bloka I already fulfilled, and that mitzvah is in my pocket, you know, it's registered up on high. But if I want to add the other mitzvah, which normally I can do it, you know, Vasachas, I do both, I kill two birds with one stone, because my Ner lasts, but in this case my Ner went out, can I just take a Ner from my closet, from my drawer, light that Ner, have it lit until the balance of Achitifleric Mishuk, and at least gain the second element of that mitzvah? So, for example, if you would hold Kovsa Zakakla like Rav Huna, which we don't postulate, then the answer is clearly yes. Because Kovsa Zakakla means even though my candle went out, I have to rekindle it. Even here we have a very interesting limitation rule. When does Kofsa Zakakla apply according to the Beis Halevi and the Avnei Nezer, if you recall our discussion? What condition do I have to fulfill in order to apply Kofsa Zakakla according to Rav Huna? Do you remember the difference between Kofsa and Nevda? Does anybody recall that?
Yeah.
It means that the Shemen and the wick and the container, the Nair, is all still there. According to both the Beis Halevi and the Avnei Nezer, the Sokacham, for two different reasons, they both come to the same conclusion that if, let's say, I knocked over the Nair, or somebody knocked over the Nair, everything spilled, then even if I hold Kofsa Zakakla, it wouldn't apply. You see to what extent we have to go back to the Maisad Loka, because it's that Nair. If I can replace that Nair in order to achieve the Nair Dolokium, then according to one man, the Yom and the Gemara, that's Rav Huna, I'm obligated to do so, because Ner Dolok is essential to the mitzvah. We're saying that Kosa Ein Zokala, Ner Dolok is only a Hashlomas HaMitzvah. It completes the mitzvah, but it's not critical to the mitzvah. I can be Yotze with Maisad Loka. And that's why Kosa Ein Zokala. Again, in order to set up a Maisad Loka, I need a Ner that could potentially last for the full Ner Dolok. Meaning, but once having established that the Nair is existing, now all I need is a Maisad Loka. And if it goes out, that's it. I fulfilled my mitzvah. What happened to Nair Dol? So maybe you can say that although you're not obligated to set up a Nair Dol, there's a Kiyuma mitzvah, there's an optional Kiyuma mitzvah that you can achieve with a Nair Dol. But again, you might have to add the following proviso. Two provisos. The one condition is that we're still within the time period of Achitikla Regimen Ashuk, that's Pashut. And maybe the second proviso, going to Samachronim, that the original Nair is still there. You know, it's not that you're replacing the Nair after Avda. But if we're going to grant that there's no obligation to replace the Nair if it goes out, then it's not exactly like Mezuzah. If Mezuzah is your paradigm of a mitzvah Hanimsheches, then I understand a mezuzah, it's a mitzvah nimsheches, because every second, my original setting up the mezuzah, which is called kviyas ha-mezuzah, continues to exist. Haraya, if that kviyas is gone, I have to replace it. In the case of Neachanika, it's a little more complicated, because in the case of Neachanika, since we passed in hadlokos and mitzvah and kofsa ein zokul, I'm not obligated to replace that. So what conclusion does Rabbi Kivega come to at the end? He says, "In Kenya Shlomo de Mikri Avra Mitzvah." So maybe we should say that once I light the Ner Chanukah, I finished the mitzvah. That's it; it's complete. But Nikol Makom, he says, "Kevin de Kaila Rosh Bechada Lekrosim Sheishiwi Be Mitzvah." Since the rush at the beginning of Pesachim combines both Ner Chanukah and Mezuzah under one rubric, they both require bracha b'lamed, which means they both have a shiuy b'mitzvah. It means that there's a kiyum mitzvah of keeping the Nair going for a half hour. is Yesh Lama de Mikri over Lasiyasan. I can still make the bracha even after I continue the halakha, as long as the Ner is a Ner Dolot. So again, Ner Dolot means I continue the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah Yesh Bashir. It's a mitzvah that extends over a long period of time. Not such a long period of time, but I mean over a half hour. So he says to the following, right? In other words, if Yol Kovs is Zokakla, then for sure I would have to replace the Nair if it went out. It's exactly like Mezuzah. Therefore, as long as the Nair is going, I could make a bracha. But the suffix of Rabbi Kivega, here's where he vacillates, is Laman Yom Kovsa Ein Zokakla. Because we're not sure if the continuing lighting of the Nair means that it's still his original mitzvah is still kayemes, because whereas a mezuzah I have to assume as long as the mezuzah is on my doorpost I'm like putting it up on the mezuzah, if it goes down I have to replace it. But in the case of Nair Chanukah, could be the mitzvah is only the maisad loka, and therefore I don't know if it's a mitzvah nimsheches,
but it's hard to say if it doesn't go out that there's no kiyum mitzvah when it's done.
But the question is, does that kiyum mitzvah mean that my active part of the mitzvah is kayemis? That's where Rabbi Kiva vacillates, because he thinks maybe to go that far to say that my mitzvah is kayemis, that's because I'd have to replace that original maisa. Whenever the halacha requires me to replace the original maisa, it means that as long as it's dolekes, you know, my mice is still there. As long as the mezuzah is on the door, my kvius is there. In the case of talis, your argument is, well, I don't have to put the talis back on because I'm not wearing a beggar to dalet kamfis. So that's complicated because I don't know if it's a minog or if it's mikra. Then we have to wear a beggar with dalet kamfis. You know, we can't just say, I'm playing basketball 24-7, I don't want to sweat up my beggar, therefore I'm not going to wear a talis. In the case of tefillin, again, this is arguable, but I would push in favor of saying that we should be wearing tefillin the whole day. And that's the obligation. Why we don't do that, I don't know. You know, there are many obligations that, over the course of time, got lost. Like, for example, there are many Rishonim who say that even in our time, we have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And you and I, and that's why we're speaking English here today, we know of many people who don't live in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened to the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Is it a danger to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is it more dangerous to live here than elsewhere? So it's sakonis nefashis, like Rabbi Chaim Cohen is quoted at the end of Ksubis and Tosfos, that in our time, sakonis drachim, you know, it's so dangerous, you might get on a plane and end up in Athens instead of making it to Lud Airport on Erev Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? How dangerous is it to get on a plane from New York, from JFK, and arrive here in Israel? So I don't know. You know, you can tell me, like Rabbi Chaim Cohen says, it's a danger. Then Reb Chaim Cohen is saying, well, we can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah Tzlius Barnes in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if that's true in our time. We Baruch Hashem, we have Shemitah, and we have Hafrashas Shumas and Maestras, so we do a lot of good things here in Eretz Yisrael. So I don't know. What happened to the Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Where did it get lost? You know, the Ger Rebbe used to say that there's a Mitzvah of Tshuva, and the Bali Tshuva took over that Mitzvah. Where are we? You know, we left the mitzvah out, he used to say. We're not doing tshuva. We left it to the Bali tshuva. Let them do tshuva, you know. So, you know, in every generation we have to be mechazik ourselves with certain mitzvahs that fell by the wayside. And one of them is tefillin. So I don't know if you're aware of this. I mean, I know it from my own family. I have two grandsons that wear tefillin the whole day in the old city. You know, this is like this new movement, you know, that we all have to wear tefillin the whole day. Well, I have news for you guys. I'm not into that. I'm not ready for putting on tefillin the whole day. In fact, I don't even put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. There's a whole machlokas in my family whether my father wore Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. We're not sure. Did he or didn't he? It's not clear. That some say that during the end of his life he started wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. The God says that if you wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, you're taking off Rashi's tefillin. So at that moment, you're uprooting the mitzvah of Rashi's tefillin. So wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, if you're a litvak, is a serious issue. If you're a Hasidish yid, then how could you not wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? You know, Beni Sfaradim also wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. There are those who wear both tefillin at the same time. Have you seen that?
Yes.
there's a yeshiva in near Bukharim, I forgot what it's called, Avad something or other, but anyway, they wear one, but one tefillin they cover with the yarmulke. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
So it's not exposed to both people. Now, I don't know how that works. The whole thing boggles my mind, because Alpidin, once you cover your tefillin and no one could see it, I think that's not a mitzvah tefillin. Tefillin has to be seen. But anyway, they have their shittot. And that's where things seem to be falling. So tefillin, but if you ask me in pure halachic terms, why should you be wearing tefillin the whole day? It's not a mitzvah kiyumis, it's not like a rishus, it's a chiyuv. But that mitzvah somehow, maybe we live in an Eretz Tmeah, we lived in Golis and we couldn't fulfill that mitzvah. I don't know. Whatever it is. So here's the rub. Would he be able to make a bracha on Hadlokas Ner Chanukah during that half hour, even after he finished the Hadlokah, or not? From one perspective, we have a riot from the Rosh. The Rosh equates Chanukah with mezuzah. So we see it's a mitzvah sheyesh bo shiur, yet it's continuous mitzvah. And as we said before, there's a kiyum of Ner Dolk. So if there's a Ner Dolk, why can't I make a bracha on the Ner Dolk? Adayin mitzvah kayemes. The other way is to say it, it's not enough to say Adayin mitzvah kayemes, we need that the Asiyah, the original Asiyah, the Maisa, has to be a Maisa kayemes. Where do we have a source for that? Take a look in the Rambam. If you take a look in the paragraph that starts Ulam, he says in the name of the Rambam, Perikid Alvil, his bracha is Allah, hey, ha osa mitzvah v'lo birech, im ha mitzvah dayin asiyasa kayemes, mevarech achar ha-asiyah. The Rambam goes out of his way to add the word asiyasa kayemes, not just a mitzvah kayemes, you need that the asiyah be kayemes. In other words, the Rambam sheet is that you can only make a bracha on an asiyah. A birchas a mitzvah is always over le asiyosim, so you need an asiyah. The Rambam says, Ketzad, Harishin is ate bitzitzis, o shalobash tefillin, o shiyoshav bitzukah, velo birech tchila, chosu vavarech liachashin is ate. Again, the Rambam doesn't have Ner Chanukah on this list. And maybe the reason that the Rambam doesn't have the Nechanik on the list is because it's not a dain asiyos or kayemes. The asiyah of the Hadlokas Nechanik is gone. What are we left with? A ner dolk. So the mitzvah is still kayem, but the asiyah is gone. In the other cases, the asiyah is not gone because every moment that he has that sits on his beggar, he is involved in putting it on his beggar. You follow what I'm saying? The physical reality of having the tzitzis on your beged, or having the tzitzis, the tefillin on your head, or sitting in the sukkah, that reality is an extension of the original maisa that brought it out. For example, Rabbi Osai, would I be able to, I think we touched on this once, if I rent your house, can I make a brach on the mezuzah? You put up the mezuzah. Now I rent your house. Do I make a brach on the mezuzah? No. Why not? I mean, I'm obligated to mezuzah. The socher is chayv in mezuzah. I didn't put it up. So even though, again, the original asiyah is kayemis, but whose asiyah is kayemis? The asiyah of the maskir, not the asiyah of the socher. Here too, in the case of Ner Chanukah, I don't know, can I say that my asiyah is adayin kayemis? Is it my original adlokah that's dying kayemis? Well, the answer is no. My asiyah was gone. It's history. Because as far as the vice adlokah is concerned, kavsa, ain't talking about, so finito. You know, my mice is gone. It's complete. In the case of tefillin, every moment that I wear the tefillin, my asiyah is a dain kayemes. And how is it that I have tefillin on my head? Because I put the tefillin on my head. It's not like mezuzah where I rented your house. So on the bottom right, he quotes his Rebbe, who had the same name as my Rebbe, they were first cousins. This is Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik. And Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik says that you only make a bracha on asiyas ha-mitzvah, but not on a kiyum ha-mitzvah. So ner doluk is a kiyum ha-mitzvah. And the Rambam went out of his way to point out that you can only make the bracha as long as the asiyah is kayyum, is because it's not enough that the kiyum ha-mitzvah is chai v'kayyum, is alive and well, namely in ner chanukah, the ner doluk, but you need the asiyah kayyum. U'mishum hachi, b'shvil zeh l'chutzu mekayim es ha-mitzvah, The Rambam would never say that since every time you're wearing, every second you're wearing tefillin, you're mekayem a mitzvah. Every second you're wearing a talis, you're wearing, that itself is not enough to justify the bracha. Because then it would be a dina mitzvah kayemis, meaning there's a kiyum a mitzvah that's an ongoing kiyum a mitzvah. But rather we need the active element to bring about that kiyum a mitzvah. So the fact that gufo lovish tefillin, the gufo yoshev is sukkah, that wouldn't justify a bracha, because that's a kiyum a mitzvah without an asiyah. Is therefore the Rambam says in these cases of tefillin, of talis, of sukkah, adayin asiyah kayemis, that the original asiyah is still in existence. Well, that's okay because it's physically, you know, the asiyah is very close to the result. You know, you have an action and a result. The result of the action of putting on tefillin is that you have the tefillin on you. And as long as you have the tefillin on you, it's like you're putting on the tefillin. So therefore, it would make sense that in the case of Chanukah, bless you, we would not be able to make a bracha as long as the ner is dolek and the kiyum mitzvah continues. You need the asiyah, and you don't have the asiyah kayemis. Now, if you take a look at the bottom of page Yud Aleph, about four lines up from the bottom, he says, "Nil demasha kosev rabbi kiva eger gabi adlokas neirs the yochel of our kol zmancha neirs dolkim da mitzvah nimsheches zel l'shitaso shesover shabrocha nitkina al kiyum mitzvah." So we have now a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik. Rabbi Beryl is medayik in the Rambam that you can only make a bracha as long as the asiyah is an asiyah kayemes. It's not enough to have a kiyum that's kayem. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Eger came to the conclusion, no, as long as the kiyum mitzvah continues, that's enough to justify a bracha. So Rabbosai, let's ask the following question. What would the halacha be, keeping in mind Rabbi Kiva Eger on the one hand that you make a bracha on a kiyum mitzvah and Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik on the other that you need an asiyah, what would be the din of mezuzah? Because again, the Rambam gave three examples. Let's go over the Rambam's examples where you can make a bracha even after the mitzvah. Number one, tefillin. Number two, tzitzis. And number three, yeshiva besukkah. Mezuzah is not on the list. But what would you say according to Rabbi Kiva Eger? Can I make a bracha on this mezuzah if I never made a bracha when I put it on originally? Yeah. Yes, because the kiyum mitzvah. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, as long as the kiyum mitzvah is continuous and every minute I'm being mekayem the mitzvah on that kiyum mitzvah, I can make a bracha. See, even if you argue that my asiyah, the original kviyas ha-mezuzah, is gone, but nevertheless, I still have the kiyum mitzvah. That's an ongoing kiyum. But according to Rabbi Beryl holds that you need an asiyah, and that's what he's medayik in the Rambam. It makes sense that the Rambam might have left out mezuzah deliberately, because in the case of mezuzah, you cannot make the bracha past post the kviyas, because the mitzvah is already fulfilled. The asiyah is gone. You see, in the previous paragraph, he said that if I would have to replace it, that itself means that the asiyah is continuous. You can apply that logic even to mezuzah. Am I right?
Yeah.
So again, Rabbi Kiva Eger might agree. Let's see. What does he say about mezuzah here? Oh, look at line 4 on the right column on page Yud Aleph. He says, "V'chein b'mezuzah." Bepitcho, lo yivarech b'shas kvi also, afti eno. Just one second. V'chein mezuzah bepitcho, lo yivarech lo.
I think
it should be lo birech. Does that make more sense? Lo birech b'shas kvi also, afti eno osa ma'isa mikom kol regel avitchilas hamitzvah deilu nitolo la mitzvah lo yehilo mitzvah mikanu lahava. Okay, he has a part here about lulav, which I'm not going to get into now because I don't think this is at all relevant to this whole discussion. Lulav is a different halacha of nanuim. So let's make that change here. He says, "V'chein mezuzah bepischo lo birech b'shas kviyot v'lo." You have to add a vav here. V'lo birech, right? V'lo birech b'shas kviyos. So our topic for today is now the, let's see, Simon Ches, is it? No, is it Simon Hay? I'm sorry, Simon Hay. Okay. Oh, so Siman Hey, do you remember we got up to Vindira on page Yud Gimel and then we finished that up? So let's just review. He wants to suggest that you can fulfill, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in one of two ways. One would be, yeah, you don't have Yud Gimel? I don't know where I can get Yud Gimel right now, but maybe we can jump over to the photocopy machine has not been working. Okay. But if you listen carefully, I'm just going to summarize page Yud Gimel for our purposes. He has the following two scenarios. He has one scenario where there are people out in the shuk in a certain area at a certain time, even through the wee hours, and even after Seisach Kochavim, and count a half hour after Seisach Kochavim, there's still plenty of people in the marketplace. That's very contemporary, correct? Mm-hmm. What happens if he lights Ner Chanukah after, let's say after 31 minutes after, I'll say Seisach Kochavim, again that itself is a machlokes, let's say Seisach, so 31 minutes after Seisach Kochavim he lights Ner Chanukah, would he fulfill the mitzvah? The answer is yes. Why? Because the mitzvah, it's not at shetich l'regel min hashuk. Because there's still people in the shuk. Then he has another scenario. What happens in a place where, in an area where there are no people in the shuk 15 minutes after Seisach Kochavim? You know, it's a very small, quiet, small town, right? And he says that in such a case, you would be able to fulfill the mitzvah within that half hour, even if your hadlaka was after tichla regel meshuk. So you lit at moment number 16 post seis. There's no one out there in the shuk, and you can still fulfill it. Why? Because the shir of Ner Chanukah goes in two ways. It's either the mitzius, or it's the standard uniform din of that half hour after Tseisach. So that's more or less the sum of Yud Gimel. So Rabotai, as we move on here, I want you to please remind me, if you can be my memory, that I want to discuss this concept of lighting an Ner Chanukah after Tichla Regel Min Hashuk, meaning if in a small town, even within minutes after Tseis, there's no one on the streets, I can still fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, so there's no one out there in the shuk, then where is the Pirsum HaNes? What's going to be the answer to that question? It's the same question I could ask you about Mishas HaKonav Yelech. The Gemara says that Meniach Al Shulchan Ovid Dayo. Where is the Pirsum HaNes?
You yourself.
Okay. So that's a... I'm going to get to that position, but before we get to that position, we'll say what? B'nai Beiso. What if there are no B'nai Beiso? Then we're going to say what you said, that it's even Li'atzma. So remind me, B'li Neder, I want to talk about this concept of Pirsum HaNes Li'atzma. Very interesting concept. Now, in Siman Vav, that's Yudalid and Tesvav and Teszayin. So just to summarize what we saw here, and we asked the question whether the shear of shemen, the amount of shemen you have to put in, is relative or absolute. Do you always have to put a half hour's worth of shemen in the nair? What happens in a situation where, let's say, you lit midway between Seisach Kochavim and Shetich L'Regel Min Hashuk? Does the shear of the shemen change, or does it remain constant? Are you with me on this? In other words, let's say Seisach Kochavim is 7 p.m., Tich L'Regel Min Hashuk is 7:30. How much shemen do I have to put in the nair if I lit at 7:15? Do I need a half hour's worth of shemen, or just 15 minutes worth of shemen? So he has a diuk here from the Magen Avraham, has a diuk here in the Lashon, the Rambam, the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, that it's ad shetich l'regel meshuk. The amount of shemen I have to put in is relative. If I started 15 minutes late, within, you know, after tzeis, then all I have to put in is 15 minutes worth of shevet.
And what happens if you were an hour after?
So wait a second. So we're assuming now, again, it's very complicated, because back in the time of the Gemara, you could only light candles up to, but not beyond, Tithla Regel Minashur. Your question becomes relevant in our context, because Mishas HaKon HaVeilech, we are lighting inside. So if we're lighting inside, then the question becomes, how much of a Shir of Shemen do you have to put in the candle? It could be that in this case, you'll have to put a half hour's worth no matter what.
The official.
Because that's the official. That's the official Shir of Ner. It's a half hour's worth of Shemen. Again, it's not so simple, because if you're lighting for the Bnei HaBayis, then maybe 1 minute's lighting should be enough. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, based on the Achronim, that you have to have a half hour's worth. But oddly enough, if you go back to the Gemara's time, and you're lighting outside for the over B'Shavim, for those who are outside, then the Magen Avraham reads the Rambam and the Mechaber saying that he only has to put enough shemen in the oil to last until Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk. And therefore the amount of shemen that you have to put in the Nair is relative. It depends when you lit. If you lit with Shkia Sakama, we'll give you Ashikoya for that, but you have to put in enough oil to last for a full half hour. If you lit 15 minutes later, then instead of giving you a patch, we're going to have you a Chote Niskar. We're going to give you a present for that, a reward. You only have to put in oil to last for those 15 minutes. Very odd kind of Allah. And that's what I call the shifting Shemen, the shifting Shear of Shemen. Okay, a lot of S's over there. Shifting Shear of Shemen. Okay, two out of those are shins. So how can we make three shins out of that? I'm not sure. Okay. Now, the balance of this article is to explain a chiddush of the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav says that the Iker Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to last from Shkia until Achat Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk. If that's the Iker Mitzvah, then it's very odd that what we said before, that the Magen Avraham has this shifting shear, and now if you lit halfway in the middle between Tzeis and Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, all you have to put in is 15 minutes of Naren, and if the Iker Mitzvah is to light from Shkia until Kalos Regel Ben Ashuk, then you should be lighting at Shkia. I mean, this whole idea that I can light later than Shkia, again, back in the Gemara's time. Today, maybe everything changes, I don't know. Because even though we light for the Bnei HaBayis, but when they lived for the people out there and it was critical to light Achat Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, it's very odd that we can have a lighting of Ner Chanukah later than Shkia or Tzeis, whatever your Shita is. Why? Because the Gemara itself, and that's what the Brisker Rav says, is defining the mitzvah as Misha Tishkachama Ashu Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk. You'll never be able to achieve that unless you light at Shkia Sachama. How could the Halach allow you to light later than Shkia Sachama if the mitzvah is Mitchila Shkia Sachama Ad Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk? How can you light later than Shkia Sachama? So basically, I think that what he says here, I'm not positive because I think his language is a little bit ambiguous, but I think what he's saying is that Mishkia Sachama Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk is Lechatchila. That's what we spoke about before, the Ner Doluk. But that's not critical to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is critically that you set up a Ner that can last until Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk. But you don't have to have the Ner. Again, if all things are equal in the ideal world, you'll light with Shkia Sachama, or Tzeis, and you'll have it lit for that full half hour. That's really what you should be doing. No dilly-dallying. You shouldn't be procrastinating that Lukas Ner Chanukah. But it doesn't mean that you can't be Yotzei Ner Chanukah with any Adlukah within that range, within that period of time of a half hour. He says the following, that the shiur of how much ner that you have to have, how much shemen you have to have, is going to be set up, the formal shiur, as you called it very well, Lenny, from Shkia Sachama until Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, because that really is the ideal mitzvah, that there should be a pirsum ha-nes during that half hour period. Because every moment that the light, that the candles are lit, is an extra kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. So we want to maximize the Pirsum HaNes, not minimize it. And therefore we wanted light with Shkiyas HaChama, which is the earliest opportune moment for Pirsum HaNes. How much shemen do you have to put in the nair? You have to put enough shemen that can last until Tichla Regel Menashuk. But it doesn't mean that you have to light with Shkia. I mean, again, if all things are equal, that's the perfect ideal mitzvah, but that's not absolutely critical. So it's interesting, his language here on the bottom right on Tesvav, when he says Iker HaMitzvah, he means L'chadchila, if you're doing it the way that Chazal wanted you to do it and the way it was established, you would, you would light at Shkiyas HaChama, not later. But that's not critical. So I'll tell you the honest truth. There's one line here which repeats itself a few times throughout this essay, which I have no clue what he has in mind here. I'm going to write him a letter. I don't know his address. That's the only problem. He probably doesn't use email either. You see on this paragraph on Tezayin Ulafi, do you have that? Do you want to take a picture of that? What do you want to do? How far did you get here in terms of... You have Tezayin? Great. And you have Yud Zayin?
No.
Up to Yud Zayin, but not including Yud Zayin. Alright, so let me just read to you on Tes Zayin a line here that baffles me. Maybe you could fill me in on this. And he repeats himself a second time. So he's obviously very serious about this. He says in the paragraph Ulafi, John, you have a paragraph Ulafi? Oh, you don't have Tes Zayin?
I don't have...
I thought you said you do have Tes Zayin.
No, I don't have Yud Gimel on.
Oh wow! We have to correct that, rectify that situation. Is there anyone here who has Tezayin? You have Tezayin. You have Tezayin. So if you take a look at the paragraph, maybe John, you can look on Ulafi Aravua, and we're going to drop down on the right side about 10 lines, or if you want to count up with me from the bottom of the right column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you'll see a line that starts with the word Shemen. And if you move over to your left, it says, Im ba mitzvah l'chadchila shaneris yudolkim. Right? He says that l'chadchila, if all things are ideal, it's not enough just to do a maisad look, but you want to get the ner doluk all the way till Adshetishke. He says, Im yachol l'kayim hach mitzvah l'chadchila Afilu im b'shas hadlok lo haylo shemen kishir v'acherkach hosif hashemen. What is he trying to say over? He lit the candle. There was a very minimal amount of oil, certainly not sufficient for the shir, and now he wants to say let him add oil. What does he mean add oil? I mean, there's no such thing as post hadlok. A salvation. You can't salvage
not a ma'aseh hadlaka. It's not proper.
He's saying the shear of Vajatipa Regal Ben Ashuk is not a shear in the shemen, but it's a shear in the hadlaka.
No, so see, that I agree. So he did the hadlaka, and what happened? There was a shear or there wasn't a shear?
It was not a shear.
It was not a shear. So he wants to suggest that even though this 5 lines up from the bottom there, he says the shas hadlok aloha yelo shemen shir, then the achach hosif shemen is kevon shalamaisa hoyu aneros dolkim kishir. He was yotze the mitzvah. I don't get it.
In other words, it's in that time frame.
I understand it's in the time frame, but again, the shir of shemen, it's like, let's say for example, you would shake a lulav and then it would grow on you. So when you shook it, it was only 2 tefachim, and then now it became 3 tefachim, 4 tefachim, whatever the shear is. You understand my point? You know, it's very nice that you put the lulav on the table and it grows, but you have to take the lulav. Right? So basically, in this case, you didn't have the shear of shemen, and you lit in there, and now you're going to add shemen. I mean, but where's that hadlaka here? So he seems to say that he can be mekayim the mitzvah because of ner dolk, right? I'll read it again. In bar mitzvah l'chatchila, we said the l'chatchila, what's the perfect mitzvah? Is that should be lit from shkia till shatchatichler use. That's called their doluk. So he says then, if you didn't have a shear when you lit the nair, just add the oil afterwards. So it'll be doluk until shatchatichler regimen is shook. But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't mind it. See, I'm very excited. If you want to add nair doluk and make this mitzvah ideal, that it's not just the mice on look, but it lasted a full half hour, I'm okay with that. I like that idea. But you can't undermine the basic critical requirement of Ner Chanukah, which is what? Hadlaka. And if you didn't have a shear of the Shemen, we've said over and over again, then the Hadlaka is not worth anything. So how could you envision a Hadlaka and then he's pouring the oil in? Do you see the picture in front of your mind? Just close your eyes and don't fall asleep on me, but close your eyes for a second and imagine that he put a very minimum amount of oil in the candle. He lit the candle. Now he takes a jug, and he starts pouring oil into it. And now guess what? It's going to last until Ashatichla Regabinish Kishkayach. But where's the Mais Adlaka? The shear of the Nair sets up a Mais Adlaka. Maybe, Lenny, this is your question from before. But your question before was, let's say, if the wind blew out his candle, can he still light another candle and maybe achieve the Ner Dolok up until Ashatichla Regimen Ashur? But, and even there, I was very, very inhibited to say such a thing, but let's grant that there is such an entity in Allah, that Allah would validate adding another Ner if the first Ner went out in order to achieve a Ner Dolok up until. But now he's saying that I could fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah by pouring the oil into the Ner after I was madlik a Ner that didn't have a shear.
Because he says it's also ain't of a masa hadlaka.
How could that be? I don't get it. Again, I'm a big fan here. I wouldn't waste your time with this. It's just that there's so many lovely, lovely chidushim, incredibly creative. Besides which his name is Yitzchak, right? So that's another plus. We like the name Yitzchak, right? But seriously, he's got so much good stuff here. But here, I don't know, I lost it. And I'll tell you what I think he's saying here, but and again he goes back and repeats himself later. I think he's saying that since it's a kiyum of Ner Doluk, so maybe I could separate the kiyum of Ner Doluk from the Mais Hadlaka, and even if the Mais Hadlaka per se would not register, and I did not achieve my kiyum because I didn't have a shear of the Ner, but I can still set up an independent kiyum of Ner Doluk, and I can add the Shemen. Once I add the Shemen, now the Ner is going to last until Shatichla Regimen Ashur and beyond, and I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. Why? Because since L'chatchila, I should have put enough Shemen that it should last until Shatichla Regimen Ashur, so that means that there's an ongoing mitzvah until that point of Tichla Regimen Ashur. Therefore, if I didn't put enough Shemen in the Ner, and I my goal is to achieve Ner Doluk Ad Shatichla Regimen Ashur, I can add the Shemen afterwards. I guess basically he's saying the following, that if there's less than a shear of Shemen in the Ner, it still retains its status as a Ner Chanukah. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's not going to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, but if he adds Shemen, then he will be able to do this. But he can, subsequent to that Lucky, he can convert and upgrade his Nair into a Nair Chanukah. That's Roy, that could last until Ashtikluksha. He lit it, but it was a Nair Chanukah. Lenny, what are you going to say?
Suppose there has to be a point where the two come together. Once they're cemented together, then you can utterly have it on as well.
But my only question is, can you cement them in a sequence in time in which at time T1, you didn't have an Ner Doluk? Because the longest, the maximum amount of time it's going to last is 10 minutes. Now you want to add the element of Ner Doluk, but in order to do so, you're going to add Shemen to the Ner. But what about the original Adlaka? That's what bothers me. How does he justify the original Adlaka and validate it as a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Unless you say that the shear is not a din in the Cheftza Shel Ner, in the Chaloshe Ner, in the Hadlokas Ner, this, even without the shear, you have a Ner, you forfeited the mitzvah because the ner is not roy, or shall I say, not yet roy, to last for a half hour. If you can now upgrade it and add oil, and now it will be roy, then ain't a kinavi
yotzus. And you're going to say that the original time doesn't count, because the hadlaka is a continuous process.
Well, so wait a minute. Just start. I think what he's saying, again, I don't know if he's saying this, but that the original hadlaka is valid and meaningful to for Shlav Aleph, for step number one, stage one, to create a ner. Even though it's only going to last for 10 minutes, it's a ner. Now what you have to do is another action to make that ner into a ner chanukah, meaning to give it the amount of shemen that will give it the potential of lasting as a ner dolok until when? Until I should take the recommend of shukah. It's a two-stage process.
But a half hour from then. Not a half hour including your first 10 minutes. Because that was just...
Well, again, if you're willing to say that he's yotzei the mitzvah, we hold hadlokos a mitzvah, it means that the first hadlok is meaningful. Again, if the first hadlok is meaningless, shalom Yisrael, you know, just start crossing out the lines here. You know, if you have a red lord, I'll put an X on my page. Hadlokos. You're going to have to somehow, if you're ever going to imagine in your mind that the halacha would validate adding shemen post hadlok, it must be that the original hadlok, which was lacking in shemen, was still a hadlok that the halacha recognizes and validates. And why is it a valid hadlok? Because you created a ner. The ner is only going to last 10 minutes, another half hour. Doesn't matter. You've created a ner. Now you have another problem. There's a precondition in ner chanukah that the ner has to last for a half hour, or at least have the potential to last at least. So how are you going to solve that problem? You're going to add oil. Take out your jug and add the oil to the ner. But only if you assume that the original hadlaka was meaningful. Now here, Abosai, is there anyone here in the room, bless you, who remembers the following? That Rashi, on Daf Chaf Alpha Min Beis, in the case of Hayatafus V'Omed, Rashi says, Dilohavi Heker Lines. Does anybody, I'll read to you the Rashi, and let me ask you if it rings any familiar bell.
Yes,
Yochazer,
that's a different Rashi.
Just one second, what page am I on? Yeah, Chaf Alpha Min Beis, where's Hayatafus V'Omed, is that here? Second. No, that's, well, I'm not sure. First I'll find the Gemara, and then I'll find the Rashi. Is that the find the Gemara of Tafus V'Omed?
No.
So wait a minute. So let's fast forward the Chaf Beis. Oh, come on. Where is this? This is a little embarrassing, but let's see if we can find it. Chabez on the base? Sorry, I knew it was on the base. I didn't remember it was Chabal from his Chabez.
Where's the bottom?
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much, Sean. So you're going up about 10 lines from the up from the bottom. The first line is Mitzvah, and Omer Rav Hayatofus Ner Chanukah V'Omed Lo Osa V'Lo Klum. So he's holding on to the Ner Chanukah. He hasn't put it down. So Rashi says, Hayatofus V'Omed, says Rashi, B'yodo Mishahidlika Adshekovsa. He was holding in his hand from the moment that he lit it up to the moment that it went out. What does that imply?
It's some sort of continuous process of lighting.
No, but I'm asking what? Yeah, but what psak, so to speak? What halachic ruling can you derive from this Rashi by implication?
If you put it down in the middle, it'd be yotzei.
Correct. Rashi's saying the reason why you're not yotzei, lost a little clue, is because you're holding on to it midlika adshekovsa. So that means that if you would put it down before it goes out, while it's still lit, then at that moment you've become the mitzvah. And Rashi goes on to tell me, Why is he not yotzei the mitzvah when he's holding it? Let's say he held it in the extreme case, he held it from the time that he lit it until it went out. So the Gemara itself says that lo asa v'lo klum. Why is that lo asa v'lo klum? If you take a look, the Gemara says hasam. The reason why Rav Paskins, if he's holding the nair until it goes out, is lo asa v'lo klum, is haroa omer litzarko who did not get lay. That in the spectator's eyes, if he's holding on to Nair, it looks like he's doing his bedikas chametz, meaning he's using the Nair for whatever he's using it for.
In other words, it's not a Nair Chanukah yet.
Oh, excellent. Now, if it's not a Nair Chanukah because it doesn't have Hekera, then look at the next Rashi, is a little bit strange. Rashi says, Litzarko, there's two lines up before the end of the daf, Lihishtamesh, Vileka Heker
Nisa.
Why does Rashi say Leka Heker Nisa? Rashi just said Leka Heker Ner. I'll give you an example. If you go back to Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, so Rashi says on the top line, V'yosel Ishtamish Liora, says Rashi, Shehe Nikar Shehu Ner Mitzvah. Which means that if he's benefiting from the Ner, then it's not clear that this is a Ner Mitzvah. So Rashi's definition of Hekera, to make sure the word gets out, is that this is a Ner Mitzvah. Here, in Tofes V'Omer, Rashi introduced another word here. Leke Heker Nisa. Why didn't he say Leke Heker Ner Mitzvah? Or Mitzvah. So the possibility arises here that in the case of Tofes V'Omer, Rashi might be of the opinion that it is a Ner, and it is a Ner Mitzvah. It's lacking Pirsimanes. As opposed to a case where, let's say, the onlooker from the beginning thinks that he's lighting it Litzarko, for example, if it's Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora, or in the case where he puts it on his Shulchan, you remember that case? In all those cases, you need a Heker that it's a Ner Mitzvah. So I'm wondering, what happens if he lights an Ner Chanukah without a shear of Shemen? Two possibilities. Number one, if he doesn't have the shear of Ad Shetichlo Regem HaShukah, he's lacking in the Ness, meaning in the Pirsum HaNess. It's not a Ner that could convey the message of Ness. Or, shall we say something more fundamental, that it's not even an Ner Mitzvah? Because the shear of the Ner defines it as an Ner Mitzvah.
But the person outside...
Now, it might be if he could add Shemin after. Yeah.
But the person outside is not going to be able to tell anyway. It's not... He's going to see the Ner that's being lit.
Are you talking about Tophus Vinomen, or are you talking... Yeah. So again, I don't know how to operate with this Rashi. What does Rashi mean that it's only lacking in Ness? You know, it's not a Ner that indicates the miracle, as opposed to other cases where Rashi says it's not a Ner, the Vener Mitzvah, it looks like Litzarko. I don't know. I don't know how to work that out. But what I'm just suggesting is that maybe by Rashi saying that in the case of Tofes V'Omer, if he puts it down, he could be Makayim the Mitzvah, is because even when he lit it, it was a Ner Mitzvah. It wasn't a Ner Shel Nes, but it was a Ner Mitzvah. How do I introduce or complement or supplement this Ner? I put it down, and now we get the Ness. It becomes a Ner Shel Ness. Two-stage process. Stage A, he creates a Ner. Stage B, he fills in whatever was deficient in that Ner by putting it down. Can you say the same thing in the case of Shir Shemen? That if you didn't have the Shir Shemen, which means that it won't be able to light a full half hour, so you're lacking in the same Ness.
Shemner.
Oh, if you're going to say it's lacking in the same Ner, then pouring oil is not going to help.
Not going to help.
But again, if you read this carefully, he says, Kevon sha mitzvah l'chatchilu asha neris yudolkin is mitzvosa eno maisa hadloka. He says, im yochol l'kaim hach mitzvah l'chatchilu afilu b'shas hadloka lo hayalo Ner, Shemen Kishir. So I'm suggesting that maybe he means that the hadlok of this ner, even though the shemen was less than kashir, was a hadlaka of an ner mitzvah. It's lacking pirsumei nisa. It's lacking the upgraded status of nes. Now I'm going to add oil into the shemen. It's going to last until I should tichel regem of the shuk, and I add the element of nes. He repeats himself at the very end of this essay. If you count up from the end, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he says, Ulam, im neymar di afal gav shalo yotza ikar mitzvah ner chanukah b'kai gavna shenosin shem poks mikashir, I will be komakom yotza hach mitzvah l'chatchila. You see the same words again. He calls it the mitzvah l'chatchila. He wants to justify the following position. He lit an Er Chanukah with Pachas Mikashir Shemen. Now he lights another candle. He doesn't make a bracha on the second Ner. Didn't we see something like that in the Mishnah Berurah? Let's open up the Mishnah Berurah for a second. I think the Mishnah Berurah said something like this. And I jumped out of my seat. It didn't make any sense to me. Now I have to find the Mishnah. That's my challenge. Which page?
Ayin Beis.
Ayin Beis. I looked at it.
Oh yeah.
Look at this. It's on. If you have the standard Mishnah Berurah, you don't have Mishnah Berurah. No. Do you?
Well, what Siman and Sif?
Yes, I'll just tell you the Siman and the Sif. It's Siman Tafresh Ayin Beis, and it's Mishnah Berurah number Dalet. Now. He's talking about the following scenario. It's a slightly different case than ours. He lit Miplag HaMincha. He was Tarud, he wasn't going to be able to light later on, so he lit as early as Plag HaMincha. That's an hour and a quarter before Tzeis HaKochavim. And the Mechaber says that we're allowing him to light and fulfill his mitzvah in Ner Chanukah, but Bilvad on the one condition. Sheyitim Boshemen Ad Shetichle Regel Min Ashuk. He's got it now. Again, Tichle Regel Vashuk is a half hour after Tzeis. He's an hour and a quarter before Tzeis. So he needs enough Shemen to last for an hour and three quarters. And the language of the Mechaber is Ubilvad. Ubilvad means it's conditional. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to know, what happens if he didn't put enough Shemen? He lit a plag on Mincha. V'lo nosan bo Shemen elo kishir chatzi shok enog b'chol yom. He put in the same amount. He has these pre-prepared glasses, right? So he didn't think twice. You know, it was plag on mincha. So he lit the same thing, and it only could last for a half hour. Oh, yachzor v'yitein bo shemen v'yadlik. What does he mean by v'yadlik?
Starts again.
A second time. Right? It got to be starting again. U'vikolokom lo yachzor v'yivar. Here's the case. Where you're adding shemen, you didn't have enough shemen on the first round, but you're not going to make a bracha on the second round because you already made the bracha on the first round. I don't know what's going on here. Again, in this case, maybe you could say that since he has the basic definition and requirement of the shir shemen, he has enough oil for half hour, even though, again, he's lighting so early that it's not going to last until a shetechel min hashuk. So here you could say that maybe he was yotzei the mitzvah, even though he only had a half hour's worth, he had the classical shemen. Very difficult to say such a thing, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't blink about it. But didn't we see that the Mishnah Berurah repeated himself in a different context? Yeah, you take a look in Ayin Ches, I'm going to look in Ayin Hey, and maybe one of us will find it. All right. So right now I'm not finding it. I thought that we saw another Mishnah Berurah that.
Yeah. Tafresh Ayin Hey Siman Beis Sifkatan Ches.
Lo Yotzi Dechavos Kol Sute B'Shem Lasa Ladlika Below Brach. Oh, okay. I need a pencil desperately. Anybody see a pencil here? Oh, here it is. Because if I don't underline it, then forget it. Okay. So, what's the case over here? Okay. We're talking about adlokos and mitzvah, and he needs shemen in the ner kedei shir kodem adlokah, as I state in the mechaber. So before that adlok, he needs the shir. All right, then the mechaber goes on and says, if in birech vehidlik, and he didn't have the shir, v'yachkach hosif shemen ad kedei shir lo yotze yidei chovasa. Clearly, he's going to have to light with a bracha now. Zokta mishne brura. Sivkat nches lo yotzi dechovas tzarch lechabosa velite b'shemen kishir velachzor ladlika below bracha. What's this below bracha? And he quotes the name of the Chemed Moshe, the Nishmas Adam. I feel for the Nishmas Adam. He's got a great neshama, but what's how can it be below bracha? Poshet it makes my hair stand on end. I can't deal with these things. I don't know how to deal with these things. Again, you're going to have to somehow assume, what you get is absolutely bananas, that the Shir of Shemen is only L'chatchila, but it's not B'nieved. Again, at least, you know, if we ever come to the conclusion that the Shir of Shemen is only L'chatchila, then at least we can have a Chatzin Nechama that he has a Ner Dolok for a certain period of time. He doesn't have a Ner Dolok for the whole period.
That's providing he likes. From Shkia. Did we say before?
So again, if he lit at Shkia, so then, no, I would say, well, tell me why I'm wrong about this. I would say any time within that period of time, from Shkia until Ach Tichleg, but Shuk, he has at least a minute's worth of Pirsa Manes of Nerdol. That's what he has.
The Mishnah, I thought Bishop Brewer was talking about if you lit earlier.
The Mishnah Brewer there that we just did Sivkot Ches.
Yeah.
No, he was talking about a case. Oh, well, wait a minute. There's Tofresh Ayin Aleph and Tofresh Ayin Hey. In Tofresh Ayin Aleph, the Mishnah Brewer was talking about a case where he lit at Plaga Mincha and he didn't put enough Shem in it. And here in Tofresh Ayin Hey, he's talking about the regular case where he lit at time and he didn't put enough Shem in it. Now, Abosa, what I'd like to do with you now is Simon Yutes. This is on page Lamed Ches. So for this, we really should have to take a little break and... Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that the machine is not working. Okay, so you know what? Let me talk to you about a different topic. Since we have some logistical issues. Although if anybody doesn't mind opening the door, maybe the secretary will tell me some miracle happened in Eskanika. They fixed the machine. The door... I have to. Abby, you want to do me just a favor? Just peek your head in there and just ask Rabbi Yeshua, whose back is to you, if they fix the machine by any chance. Because they were supposed to come around and fix the machine. Any luck?
The little one is working.
Ah, the little one. Oh, that's complicated. The little one, you have to stand there and it's this until this. It's like really primitive.
Not enough toner.
So I wanted to share with you an idea about this business. Is there such a thing as Pirsum Anes towards oneself, for oneself? So again, let's just summarize what we have so far. In the case of Shasa Sakona V'Elech, we're no longer lighting outside the house, we're lighting on the inside of the house. That itself would not be convincing. Maybe they're the Pirsum Anes for the Bnei Abayis. So if I can't publicize the miracle of Hanukkah to the outside, I can at least publicize it to the members of my household. What happens if there's nobody in his household? I don't think that anywhere in Shulchan Aruch it says that in such a case he doesn't light near Hanukkah. Unless you find it for me, I don't know. So let me work with the fine premise, and hopefully I'm right, I don't know, that if there's no one in the house, he still lights the Ner Chanukah, and that's for himself. Oh, so that's one case. Another case, let's just think, where maybe he's lighting for himself, would be the Mahajan. Let me explain what I mean. I have here a sefer. I think you've seen it in the past. It's called Mishnas Yavetz. You remember this? And he has a Simon Ayin Dali, which is called Hidur Mitzvah B'ner Chanukah. Now let's understand what this whole Simon is all about. On Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, we have Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And there's a gigantic machlokas here. We'll say between Tosfos in the name of the Ri on the one hand and the Rambam on the other hand. Tosfos in the name of the Ri says that the relationship between Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, is such that it's an either or. You can't have both. Why? Because if you're adding candles for the number of people in the household, then you can't go ahead and now add other candles for the number of days of Chanukah. Because if you have both, then there's no Hekera, there's nobody out there can understand or get the message that you're adding extra candles because it's the second day. Maybe the reason why you lit two candles on the second day is because you have two people in the house. Maybe the reason you lit three candles on the third day is because three people in the house. If you're going to tell me on the third day because I have three people in the house I have to light nine candles, then who's going to know it's the third night of Chanukah? If the whole thrust and purpose of Mahajim and Mahajim is to tell you what day of Chanukah it is and how much the Ness increased from one day to the other, it just didn't last for one day. Yes, the second day, the third day, every day there was another miracle. So how's the onlooker going to get that impression? So the Re says in Tosfos that it's an either-or situation. You can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And therefore you can have the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, which means that on the first night you're going to light one candle, on the second night you're going to light two candles, and it doesn't matter how many people are in the house. The Rambam has both. The Rambam has Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And therefore, the Rambam has to face the following question. Where is the Hidur Mitzvah, called Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin in this case, when you've already increased, you've already multiplied the number of Neros to reflect the number of people in the house, and now you want to multiply the number of Neros to reflect the number of days of Chanukah, nobody's going to get the message over here. So on that, Rav Zsolti, the author of Mishnas Yavetz, wants to answer this question and explain the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam based on the following analysis, the following chakira. He says, what's the nature of Hidur Mitzvah in Chanukah? Is it classical, which means Zeh Kelim Yanvehu, or is it built into the Mitzvah of Chanukah? Let's explain. Rav Zsolti proves, and he has a whole discussion about this, which we're not getting into, that the mitzvah of Zeh Kelim Yanvehu only applies when it's begolui, when people can see it. Like, for example, if I beautify my talis, or I beautify my mezuzah, something that could be seen. But on the other hand, he says that there's no vanvehu on a davar mechusa, on something that's covered. So, for example, if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah zekeh yavehu in tefillin, so then there's the outside of the tefillin, then there's the inside of the tefillin. So I don't know if you've ever seen the inside of a tefillin, but you'll notice that there are batim and there are separations, depends on shal rosh, shal yad. But he says that this, again, this is part of a longer discussion, but that zekeh yavehu only applies to megula and not mechusa. So he says the following. Based on that premise, that definition, we understand shitas hatosis. You can't have both mahadrin and mahadrin mina mahadrin. Because as far as what's megula is concerned, you cannot know that this is connected Yom HaYotzim if you've already added candles connected Bnei Abayas. So in terms of this requirement that Hidur Mitzvah be Nikar, a Dover HaMagula, Tosis is right. You can't have both the Mahajan and the Mahajan Mina Mahajan, because then it's not Magula. So now the question is, what do we do with the Rambam Shita? So you want to suggest that according to the Rambam, this din of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin in Er Chanukah is not a reflection of Zeh Kelim Yanvehu, but rather Hu guf mitzvah shel ner chanukah. That's his language. That this is the way Chazal enacted the mitzvah of ner chanukah in different levels and different stages. How many candles should you light? So the Chacham said, fine. You want to be mekayem the ikar mitzvah? One candle is enough. And that'll suffice for the entire crew, the whole Bnei Abayis. You want to be mekayem the Mahadrin? Then, if there are two people in the house, light two candles, even on the first night. Three people in the house, light three candles. That's the Mahadrin. Now we get to the second night. Everything gets confusing, right? Because on the second night, we want to multiply all the candles that we lit, right? This is the Rambam Shita, by two. So now the three candles of the first night, if I have three Bnei Abayis, become six candles on the second night. On the third night, they become nine candles. That's the way the Chazal enacted the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That you should multiply the number of candles to reflect A, for the Mahadrim, the Bnei Abayis, and B, for the Yom HaYotzim, for the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim, according to Beis Hillel. And the number of Neros that you increase, that's going to be the Hidur Mitzvah. But I ask myself the following question. Am I communicating the Hidur Mitzvah of Keneged Bnei Abayis, Keneged Yom HaYotzim for the spectator on the outside? He can't figure it out. And Tosa says in the name of the Reed, when he sees multiple candles, he doesn't know, is that the number of Bnei Abayis, is that the number of days? I mean, he certainly doesn't see the difference between the two. So I'm going to suggest the following radical possibility, which Rav Jolti doesn't suggest. That maybe the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is for the sake of the Madlik. It's not for the sake of Pirsum HaNes. The Pirsum HaNes is for me. That I know how many people were saved in my family, you know, from the Yevanim, and how many days of Chanukah the Ner lasted, and the miracle went. Enoch Hinami, in the eyes of the spectator, we don't know. Just like in the case of Minasakona V'Elech, we're lighting on the table, you know, inside the dining room, and obviously there's no hecker, there's no Pirsum HaNes for the spectator, but it's a Pirsum HaNes for me. Maybe the Mahadrin is also a Pirsum HaNes for me. Number one, in terms of how many people were saved at my house, and number two, in terms of how many days the miracle lasted. So if that be the case, then maybe, according to at least the Shittas HaRambam, the key element in Mahadrin is the way I perceive the Pirsum HaNes, not the Pirsum HaNes on the outside. Well, so I was thinking, if this be the case, Rabosai, maybe we could explain the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What happens? He's got two candles. He lights the first candle, and now he wants to light the second candle from the first candle. That's called Madlikim Miner L'Ner. So Rav says it's awesome, and Shmuel says it's mut. What happens though if he uses a kisen? That means he uses some sort of a piece of wood. We call it a wood chip. In order to take the ner, the flame from the first ner and use it for the second ner. Rav says for sure that has to be also. That's bizui mitzvah. You know, you're taking a secular candle, if I could call it that, a secular piece of wood chip, and you're using it for your own purposes. That's what it looks like. So Shmuel says, no. Why are you lighting this wood chip?
In order to light the next.
Correct, for the sake of lighting the next one. So now we're going to apply this the following principle. According to Shmuel, the ends justify the means. In other words, I'm not trying to be mavaza the mitzvah, I'm trying to light the second air. And the second air is likewise an air Chanukah. So Rav says, well, wait a minute, let's freeze the frame. Let's look at that moment in time in which you were lighting the kisem. And it looks like you know, it's like you're lighting a cigarette from the Ner Chanukah. You know, you're taking it for your own purposes. So Rav says, we can't tolerate this. Counsel on Shmuel, and he says, but wait a minute. What am I going to do with this wood chip? I'm going to use it to light another Nair. Well, wait a second, who knows that? I know it. I don't know if you know it. You follow me? Notice, when we freeze this frame, as I call it, does that mean anything to you when I use that phrase? You tell me if my language skills are pedagogically sound. When I freeze that middle thing, and here I take my cigarette and I light it here, you know, saying from the Ner Chanukah, little do you know that I'm using this cigarette in order to light my next Ner Chanukah, nobody has any clue what my ultimate purpose is. Unless I make, you know, loudspeak, I get on the loudspeaker and I fog one. But there is one person who knows why he's lighting this kisem, and that's the person who's Madlik himself. What is his ultimate goal? To light the other candle. What is that other candle? Why is he lighting a second candle? For Heder Mitzvah. Ah! Heder Mitzvah is for myself. I want to be Mahadr the Mitzvah. And I know that by lighting the kisem, I'm going to be able to be Mahadr the Mitzvah and light a second candle. Heder Mitzvah is for me. Where do we see such thing that Heder Mitzvah is for me? We saw it here in the Rambam. The Rambam says that you add Mahajan and Mahajan min Mahajan, even though nobody has a clue what's going on. It's just a whole bilbil here, a whole mixture of Neros. But I know what I'm doing. So the message is to myself. So in other words, if we summarize what we're saying is, it could be that even in the Iker Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, of Ner Echad, it could be that the Pirsum is for me. For example, if no one else is around, I find myself on the moon and I'm still lighting an Ner Chanukah. I come back to my house at 2 in the morning, and not only that, Mishas Sakon Veilich, I'm lighting on my table. Nobody has any clue what it's about. There's still a Kiyum of Pirsum HaNes for myself. And maybe that's what Shmuel is saying over here. That although I'm not willing, says Shmuel, to go that far and say that the Iker Ner is for myself, that has to have Pirsum HaNes, certainly before the Shas HaSakona when they lit it outside. But as far as the Mahadran is concerned, that Mahadran is a kiyum of my Pirsum vis-a-vis myself. Rabbi Kivager says that you can make a bracha even on the second Ner. He forgot, he omitted the bracha on the first there, he makes the bracha on the second there. Why? Because it's a Mahajan. So who says I can make a bracha on Mahajan? So he quotes the Elio Rabbah. But maybe what we could say is that his bracha is on the Pirsum HaNes for himself. That even if no one else will appreciate the Mahajan, he himself can appreciate the Mahajan. So I was thinking to myself, I'll be Derech HaDrush, you know, I come from a family of Darshanim, that maybe you could say the following. Ner Chanukah is all about teaching. Pirsum HaNes means I have to go out there and publicize the miracle. My father, Zichrono Livracha, has a book which he published. He published two books in his lifetime. We published the third after he passed on, based on his writings. But in the second book, he has an introduction in which he talks to the Rabbanim. He addresses the Rabbanim. You have to keep in mind, my father was considered like one of the premier Rabbanim in America this time. So he says to the Rabbanim, you make one mistake. You spend endless amount of time preparing your drushes and preparing shiurim and teaching. You don't leave enough time for your own learning. And I heard once about the Balatanya that he used to say that after he had so many chassidim and whatever, he used to then go back to his house at a late hour, close the door, and start learning for himself. You have to keep that candle going for yourself. You know, they say that if you're teaching Torah, it's like, you imagine a cup that's filling up. The cup fills up, but if you keep drawing from that cup, ultimately, the cup becomes empty. So you have to pour into the cup something that goes into yourself. I have to do something for myself. That gives me the strength. So on the one hand, my focus is on teaching, on giving others, but I have to know that I can lock myself off in a room and at some point just learn for myself. And that's going to give me the spiritual energy that goes on. So perhaps we could say that if Pirsum HaNes is an act of teaching, it's an endeavor of sharing with others what you know and what you appreciate, then as far as the Iker HaMitzvah is concerned, Ein Hachinami. You've got to get out there and you've got to light the Iker HaMitzvah. But as far as the Pirsum HaNes, beyond that, you already have fulfilled that, that's for you yourself. That's already what you're doing for yourself. You understand the lesson here. So you have to teach everyone that there was a tremendous miracle and God saved us, and that's your Ner Chanukah. But now, you want to be Mekayim Mahadrin? Says the Rambam, how many people are in your house? Teach yourself how great this miracle was. How many candles are you going to light on the second night, the third night, the fourth night? Teach yourself that this was an amazing miracle. Could be no one's going to be your disciple. No one will follow. The hecker is for yourself. That's what I was thinking. We have just a few minutes left. I want to conclude with at least an introduction, and then we'll hopefully get back to the photocopy machine. But he has here a discussion in the Ritva, and this is on Daf Chaf Aleph on the base. The Gemara says, "I'm a Rava Mishas Hakana Ve'Elif Meiniach Al Shulchano V'Dayo," and the Ritva vacillates on the following point. What does that mean, Mishasa Sakona V'Elach? Interpretation number one. It means that if there's a Shas Sakona, then you light your Ner Chanukah on the table. You don't have to give up your life on the serious Nefesh, Kiddush Hashem, for the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. The other interpretation is that Mishas Sakona V'Elach, from the time of Sakona V'Elach, the mitzvah of Chanukah changes. Meiniach al shulchan avidai. What's the difference between the two?
There's no sakana.
Exactly. If you go with the first interpretation, then it means during a period of sakana, whenever that is in Jewish history, then we have to light the candle on the inside. We can't give up our lives for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Today, we have no problem. Whatever that today is, and wherever it is, on the face of the earth, and whenever it is, we're going to have to light the Ner Chanukah. Ki ikar mitzvah. Mipesach based on Bachut, or no. Second interpretation is Mishas Takana V'Elach. They made a change in the very nature of the Takana. So what would be, for example, back in the day before Shas Takana, if they would light on the inside of the house? If we're saying, so L'chora B'Monashach, right, let me go through it again. According to one interpretation, it means during Shas Takana. So let's say it wasn't Shas Takana, I wouldn't be Yotze. And if it was before the Shas Takana, oh, here's the case that I want to discuss with you. Let's say after Shas Takana V'Elach, and there's no longer a Sakana, and he went ahead and he lit inside his house. Yeah. Would he be Yotze in the mitzvah? If we're saying that there was a change in the mitzvah, then maybe he could be Yotze. If we're saying on the other hand, no. That the mitzvah essentially remains the same. It's just that during Shas Sakana they allowed you to fulfill the mitzvah in a different way. Then if there's no Shas Sakana, then you can't fulfill it. You go back to the Iker HaMitzvah, which is Pesach Beis HaMivachut. So that's going to be the discussion that I want to address tomorrow in the context of the Ritva. Okay, then?
Sure.
Thank you so much. And again, now it's really relevant to say I'm a Freilich of Chanukah. It's almost Pag HaMim.
Does anybody bring down the Pesach Mitzvah Atzmai would apply, say,
the which Mitzvah Atzmai?
The Pesach Mitzvah.
Oh, the Pesach Mitzvah Atzmai. Yeah.
Would apply like for a Shavuos, because there's nobody in the Shuk of the Shavuos on a Friday night.
Ah. So then again, we're going to say maybe we should light inside in order to get a person for the Bnei HaBayis if no one's on the outside. Yeah. Sort of like that question that we had before.
Yeah.
What happens if you live in a hick town, and instead of emptying the streets at 8 o'clock, they empty the streets at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock?
The rabbi can send him in this short peripheral between both Shabbos and Mara Friday night. He said that Pesach Ma'isa is a part of the mitzvah, obviously, when we light individually, but you don't need minyan for it because
you don't need what for it?
A minyan for it, because it's also halakha for you, the main mitzvah for you. But when you light in shul, right, the main reason in shul is for the tzibur. Right. So are you allowed to light in shul without a minyan?
Right.
That's an interesting question.
Some posts can say something strange that on Erev Shabbos when you light in the shul, there's not a minyan yet, still go ahead and light, and then the minyan's going to come
later.
Yeah,
he mentioned it, yeah.
Remember that?
It was like 5 minutes and it was in Hebrew, so I didn't follow the whole thing, but yeah, it was interesting.
Thanks so much.